to Women's Sunday. We're always glad to be able to do this once a year, and we will be honoring a special woman after a while. The youth today, I have a lot of announcements. Youth are participating in the confirmation class with Pastor Jason, and please meet with him in room 113 right after church, 11:15, for class today. Easter lilies, there is a form that's due this morning. Order forms are available in the narthex. It's All About Jesus. This is a new weekly adult Bible study, which will start this Sunday, March the 10th at 6 p.m. And it will meet here in the sanctuary starting tonight. Will be led by Pastor Jason and Fred Cox. So we hope to see all of you each Sunday, because let's face it, our life mantra should be, it's all about Jesus. The Presbyterian Women's Circle meetings will be held this week on Tuesday, March the 12th at 10:30. The morning circle is studying the Sabbath, and the night circle will meet at 7 p.m., and they're studying women of the Bible. The community meal will be held this Thursday, March the 14th at Hillcrest Baptist Church until our fellowship hall is repaired. From 5 to 6:30 p.m., everyone is invited, and the menu will be shepherd's pie, sides, and dessert. A makeup work day to spread mulch on the side of the road will be on Saturday, March the 16th, 9 to 1 p.m., many volunteers will be needed and appreciated. We will be collecting non-perishable food items for loaves and fishes on Sunday, March the 24th and the 31st. Collection barrels will be in the narthex and the Ed Building lobby. We need donations of bags of candy that won't melt and will fit inside an Easter egg for the Easter egg hunt, which will be held next Saturday, March the 30th, and donations can be given to Paige Benson by March the 24th. Sorry, March the 30th is 2 weeks. There is a one-page synopsis of Pastor Jason's sermons from the last 2 weeks titled A Day in the Life and On the Way Christian. It's on the table in the narthex. If you would like one, please take one today. And the beautiful flowers in our sanctuary today are in memory of Bill Cook and Rose Miller by Angela Cook and Mike Miller. There are a lot of announcements. Most of them will be on the screen, but there's some on the back of the bulletin. We will begin our service today with a call to worship.
Good morning. Good morning. Let me put my eyes on. I will sing to the Lord, for the Holy One has triumphed gloriously.
The Lord is my strength and my might. The Holy One has become my salvation.
This is my God, and I will praise her, my mother's God, and I will exalt her.
Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods?
Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in splendor, doing wonders?
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
Sing to the Lord.
For the Holy One has triumphed gloriously.
Please stand and join us in the singing of our first hymn, For All the Faithful Women.
For all the faithful.
We have a great priest over the house of God. Let us approach our Creator with a true heart in full assurance of faith.
Let us respond to the call to confession. Almighty God, who created us in your image, we confess to pressuring ourselves to be all things to all people.
Have mercy on us.
O wise God, who created the Sabbath for us, we confess to busying ourselves to fulfill every belief of a preconceived idea of women.
Have mercy on us, O God.
Merciful God, who created guides for us, we confess that we have forced ourselves and others to measure ourselves against impossible standards.
Forgive us, God.
Restful God, who offers your light yoke, we confess to perpetuating images of individual strength and radical self-sufficiency.
In your mercy, O God, forgive us.
As a result, we have neglected our well-being, others, and the actual work you have called us to do.
Forgive us, merciful God.
You have modeled rest for us.
Help us to embrace it.
You have shown us truth.
Help us to live it.
That we may live in wisdom and purpose. In Christ, amen.
Go ahead, Susan.
Go ahead, Susan.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Jesus tells us, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In me you will find rest in your souls." Siblings in Christ, receive the good news of the gospel. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Now we'll sing the glory. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody good today? All right. So like Petey said a little bit ago, who can tell me what today is here at Cook's? It's Women's Sunday. Yes, it is. So our service today is going to be led by a lot of lovely women here at Cook's. Who can tell me what Friday was besides Friday? Anybody know? It was International Women's Day. So we are celebrating women all over the place, which is awesome. And in a few minutes, you're going to hear Paige read some scripture about all the things that a woman does for her family, for her loved ones, for the community, for the less fortunate, and how important it is to have strong women in our lives. I would expect you guys probably have a strong woman or women in your lives that are very important to you, yeah? Maybe it's mom. Maybe it's grandma. Maybe it's an aunt, a sister, a friend, or a teacher. But somebody that loves you, supports you, lifts you up, comforts you. And I would expect your life is probably a lot better because of the strong women that you have in it, right? All right, so I want you to remember and be thankful for all the strong women in your lives who are shaping you into who you are and who you will become, okay? Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the strong women in our lives. May they always continue to be a blessing. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we're reading from the Old Testament, from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that of her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of the idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Paige. And now, our very own Sheila Black is going to deliver our sermon for us. And she will also be having the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer afterwards. So, here is Sheila.
Thanks. Morning, guys.
Good morning.
It is a beautiful day God has given to us. It is a day that's chilly and an hour too early, but it is a day that has forsythia and quince blooming and daffodils and buttercups and tulips. It's a day to remember that the earth is coming back alive. And we are fortunate to be alive sitting here. So pat ourselves on the back. We got here. When PD called and invited me to come, I was thrilled. I was thrilled to be able to come and share with you guys. When PD told me the scripture, I didn't even need to look it up. I wasn't thrilled. And I was like, God. Come on. However, in these 2.5 to 3 weeks that I've been studying and reading and trying to understand what, where, and how, I'm thrilled again. So thank you, Petey. It is a great honor to be here. I don't know how Jason prepares a sermon. The way I do this is I read and 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 read. I used to read books. Now I read the internet and the computer, that's amazing. And I process and process and process. Part of the processing came about, this song came to my mind. It's a song of the early 60s. It's a Calypso song. It says, if you want to marry somebody and have a wife, marry an ugly woman. Well, throughout, part of my lack of thrill for this was, throughout my life, I've heard plenty of sermons on this that left me feeling ugly, that left me feeling abused, that left me feeling unworthy or unimportant. But as I've studied and learned today, those have been disavowed, and so I want us to look at this. So this strong woman, a virtuous woman, this is considered the virtuous woman passage, and the word virtuous is strong, and this Hebrew word is throughout the Old Testament for men and women of strength, not necessarily bodybuilders, but other strength, and it's important. And today, Presbyterian women are emphasizing that we are to advocate equity and diversity inclusion, because it's with those ways that we are all strong as we gather everybody together along the pathway and don't leave people behind us. We are strength. We gather strength from one another. We gather strength from those who have gone before us. So I have two things. The one thing is that clock up there lets me be later than they fixed it, though. It was earlier showing that, well, I had a whole hour. I couldn't do that. But anyway, so I want you to think of two things, because at the end, throughout the sermon, we're going to talk about these things. I want you to think of strong people in your life. Who are the people who have gone before you? Who are the women who have gone before you that have allowed you to be sitting here, breathing, living, dressed, clothed, somewhat together? And who are the people you're doing that for now? Who are the people you're bringing along with you? Those are important as we read through this. So we're going to talk about that. This passage is interesting because it's actually two things. One, it is a mother telling her son, a king, who he should marry. How many of you were told who you should marry? How many of you, someone said, when you get married, make sure. How many of you maybe dated someone that someone loved you and said, I really wished you wouldn't marry them? Or how many felt that but never said it? Well, this mama didn't wait for that. She just outed it. Listen, son, if you're going to be successful, this is what needs to happen. The other is it's a poem, as many things in the Bible are. It's a poem. And this type of poem is also seen in Psalms 119 and in Lamentations. It's a poem that starts with the first letter. Each line starts with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Alpha to Tau, A to Z. And it's a poem that goes inward. The first and the last and the verses go down to a center and come back out. So it reinforces itself. Poetry is not my forsuit. In fact, in school, they'd say, write a poem. I could never come up with a poem. I know it doesn't have to rhyme, but it didn't make any sense. But this is a fascinating poem. So we're going to look at this a little bit more. It starts off with saying the wife needs to be of noble character. Who can find one, it says. The husband has to have full confidence. And it goes on. And so I'm going to tell you how these, if you've got the Bible, Pew Bible, you may want to pull it out. Or just think about this. Verse 10. And verse 31, talk about this is a person of high value, of rubies. One of the commentaries I read said that it always speaks of rubies or emeralds or pearls. It doesn't speak of gravel or river rock. It speaks of something of high value. This is a valuable person that you're going to marry. Why is this person valuable? Because they're going to impact your entire world and your entire life. This person brings depth with them. This person brings promise with them. This is a person of high value. The next verses we're coming into a center is verse 11 and 12 and verse 28 and 29. It speaks about how this person is going to benefit the spouse and the children. It speaks of what this person brings to their personage, to their worth, to their livelihood, to their life. The next verses talk about the hard work this person does. Gets up early, stays up late, does a field, spins, weaves, puts flax into linen. I mean, this is a hard-working person. The next verse 20 and verse 26 speak about wisdom and knowledge. Verse 21 and 25 speak about no fear. This strong, courageous, virtuous person isn't fearful. The verse that I can't get over is the verse, and I'm still talking to God about it, is verse 29. 26b, laughs at the days to come. How many of you guys are able to laugh at the future? That's intriguing. This is a strong person, a person of great faith. And the reason this person can laugh at the days to come is because of that faith. But when I read the news or listen to the news and hear about the trauma, the hardship, the grief that's going on, I don't laugh very well at the days to come. But this person laughs at the days to come because, once again, this person is anchored in a belief, is anchored in understanding of who God is in their life. And throughout these verses, the bedrock of these verses, the bedrock of our life, is that we know whose we are. We know we are God's. We know who holds us in their hand. And that's how we're able to continue. That's how this person can laugh at the future. Verse 21 and 25 speak of clothing, but it's not because they're fancy. It's because they're frugal, and yet they're adorned. They're caring for their household. It talks about bed clothing. These verses talk about every element of life. And we're coming back into the center of this poem, and it talks about her enterprise. She buys a field. She puts it to work. She makes money for the family. And it goes to the center. The center of this poem is verse 23. The center of the poem is talking about the respect and love of the spouse. And then it goes back out to clothing. It goes out to enterprise. It goes out to the children. Well, if you read this and took it literally, you'd be exhausted. A lot of the commentaries I read says it talks about Wonder Woman. And yet it doesn't. It talks about a person who is anchored in a belief. It talks about a person who does all they do out of love and commitment and sacrifice and honor and diligence. It talks about a person whose strength is inner and not outer. It's not strength somebody gives them. It's strength that comes from inside them. And I'm sure that in our lives, at times, we have all had times where we're not very strong inside. We are full of self-doubt and self-abasement. We're full of times where we think, oh, I just can't do that. I'm not worthy. I'm not able. I don't know. So now let's go back to what I asked you. And you're going to have to talk to me or we're going to be here a long time. Who are people who have brought you to where you are today? Who are people who have been strong in your lives? Tell me. Your mom?
Grandma.
Your grandma?
Aunt Grace.
Aunt Grace.
Aunt.
Aunt? Who else? Co-workers. Co-workers lead us to strength. I can remember a Miss Stovall, a wonderful Sunday school teacher of mine, when I was probably in first grade in Hammond, Indiana, and I was a wiggly, squirmy, mouthy kid. But she was just as calm, and at that time, as we can remember, there were like 30 kids in our Sunday school class, and we were just, but she was just calm and quiet, and would bring us quietly in. And her quiet strength taught us a lot. Who are those people? Who are those people in your life today who are strong for you? Your sister. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Spouses, wives? Sisters, children, co-workers, people at McDonald's who kindly give you a cup of coffee while you're saying, give me a cup of coffee.
Your children.
Yeah, your children do that for us. My nieces and my nephews. Last night, we had a celebration at my brother's house, at DeWitt and Eileen's house. We celebrated the 50th anniversary of their first date. It was kind of fun. I was in college at the time, and my brother called me and said, I'm going to ask Eileen out on a date. My brother's 22 months younger than me. And she and I knew each other because we had all gone to church together. And so I'm like, great. Well, they went to see the movie Papillon. Some of you are old, remember it. It was an odd first date. But they went to pizza. So last night we had pizza. The fun of the celebration was
Their children were there and their grandchildren were there, and we were able to celebrate and tell fun stories of the old days for us. But we were able to celebrate gifts that Eileen's mom brought her and that my mom brought DeWitt and other people. It was a celebration. These verses are a celebration of people in our lives. These verses are a celebration of a woman. But these are a culmination. It's not you're immediately that way. It's a storytelling, as the Bible is. It tells the story of a mama wishing for her son the best wife possible. Of a mama saying, son, you gotta marry not an ugly wife, but a wife who is strong, a wife who is diligent, a wife who is energetic, a wife who brings you children, because he's talking about these kids. A wife, a wife, a wife. Well, let's talk about this lady today. Who knows what a distaff and a spindle is? Do any of you guys know? I had to look that up. I had to watch a video. Again, computers. Had to watch a video. It's a stick. Can either be in the ground or in her sash. And the spindle is a round thing, and it's the wool that she has sheared and combed and washed is just wrapped around, and then that's how it comes down, and the thread spins and spins, and that's how they get the thread to make wool.
And parts twist.
It twists, right. It twists so that it strengthens it. It first talks about she grew flax to make linen. This lady had a hard life. Thankfully, I don't have to do a distaff and spindle. Thankfully, I don't have to wash and comb wool. Thankfully, I can go to Belk's or Walmart or Target or somewhere like that, or online. That's today's woman. Today's woman is an enterprising woman. This Bible talks to us about an entrepreneurial woman. It talks to us about a lady who is walking by, not driving by, walking by and sees this field and thinks, I got my egg money, I got my butter money, I got my money that's squirreled away. I'm going to buy this field, and I'm going to work hard and make it productive, and it'll help my family. All through the ages, women have done that. Do any of you have mothers who saved their egg and milk money, or their butter and cheese money? I had a grandma who saved her egg money, because that's the only way she could make money. She saved her egg money, and it was through her egg money that my mom had piano lessons and played the piano multiple years throughout the United States at churches. Now, in that day, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, we didn't call her an entrepreneur. We just called her a saving woman. But this woman that we read about in Proverbs is an entrepreneur. It's a woman who does that, who saved her money, who worked the field. This is a woman who took care of not just her husband and her kids, but took care of the people who worked for her. Remember, this is a mama talking to a king, so she knew she was going to have servants. This is a mama who says, this lady you married is going to take care of all who are around you. But it also talks about how this lady he married was going to be a good Jewish woman and care for the poor, who cared for the people who needed them, who brought people into her house and fed them. It would exhaust you to be this person. But this is what we're held up to be. Because of our belief in Christ, because of who God is in us, we are called to be this person. We are called to be selfless in our love. We are called to be sacrificial. We are called to be strong, physically and emotionally and spiritually. We are called to be planners. We are called to be diligent workers. Not just women, all of us are called to be that. People who believe in God are called to be that. Cooks has been that through these years. Cooks has been that in the people it has taught. It has been that through scouting. There are thousands of people who have been impacted because of Cooks' belief in scouting. Cooks has been that strong, virtuous person to lead on through scouting. Cooks has been that through the years that it did Room in the Inn. Audrey Brady and I volunteer on Sunday nights to check people in at Room in the Inn. As I was preparing this, I thought about one family. Every Sunday night that I've been there this year, this family has come. It is a mom, a dad, and four kids. And every night from December 1, probably until March 31st, they have slept at churches because they're homeless. Now, is that mama not strong? Is that mama not virtuous? Well, she is. She's making sure her kids have somewhere to sleep. She's making sure her kids have clean clothes. She's making sure her kids are fed. But life has dealt her a different set of cards. She isn't a king's wife. But she's doing the best she can with what's given her. And churches have honored her by giving her a place to sleep. And her kids a place to eat. And her kids a place to run around. Now we hear complaints at Room in the Inn about them because they're all fine women. So imagine being a mom and trying to do that, going from place to place each night. That's a strong, courageous woman. Cooks has done that in the years with Room in the Inn. Cooks has done that through trips to hurricane ravaged areas, through trips to Appalachia to rebuild homes, through trips to Kenya. Cooks continues to do that. And so Cooks is not this building, as we well know. Cooks is these people sitting right here. Cooks is the people who are watching on their laptop or their phone or wherever. Cooks are you guys. You guys are the strong, virtuous people who are teaching and leading and guiding and instilling hope in people. Cooks is done that, did that, when we hosted and housed women who were coming out of a life of human trafficking. You don't know their stories. I don't know all their stories, but I know some of their stories. I know that some of the women were able to gain self-respect again and to heal their trauma-filled life and reclaim a life. We are to be doers of the word. This woman was a doer of the word. Cooks is continuing to do that. So this starts out, who could find a good wife? It's a Jewish mom. I mean, I hear that in television. Who could? You know, you hear the inflection, you hear this. Who could? And she goes on, the king goes on to say, my mama said, this is what my wife needs to be. My mama said, this is who I need in my life. No matter that you are 9 years old or you're 96 years old, we still need those people in our lives. We still need those people guiding us, encouraging us, prodding us, nagging us, teaching us. So who are you doing that for today? Who are you guiding along? Who are you being the strong person for? Who are you being the virtuous person for? Who are you as the person, you as your family unit, and you as the congregation? Who are you? Who? Tell me.
Kenley.
Who else?
Aiden.
Gloriously. Who else?
Anna Kate.
Who else are you doing this for?
Aline.
Okay.
Aline.
Who else?
Hagen.
Think about these people. Look at these people. See these people. I have intention that my great niece who is 10 and my great nephew who is 8 once a year will go somewhere with me and with my brother and sister-in-law. Last year we went to Washington, D.C. This year we're going to Mammoth Caves. Some of it's instilled because they have that National Parks book we got to get stamps for. But in the going, we learn history. We learn exercise, because we only walked all through Washington, D.C., 7 miles a day. We learn compassion. We learn diligence. We reinforce love. We model behavior that we want them to have. You are modeling behavior sitting here. You are modeling behavior in your daily life. So, as we go through this week, as we think about these strong people, let's remember that the strength we have is God's gift to us. This woman, this particular wife, was God's gift to her son. This person's bedrock was a belief in God, was a faith. Without God, I can't go on. It is my faith and my argument and my conversation with God that keeps me going. That squirmy first grader in Sunday school is a squirmy 69-year-old woman that talks to God in a similar fashion. Wait a minute, God, why is it this way? Why did the light turn red? You know I need to get there. It is God's gifts that we have. Let's remember, we are gifted people. We are strong people. I look at you guys, and part of the joy of coming here today is the remembrance of the strong people who are sitting here. It is a remembrance of people who went with me and that I got to join down at the Gulf helping fix somebody's houses. It's the people who help hand out candy at Halloween or at Easter. It's the people who collect up cereal and peanut butter and spaghetti and take it to what was Loaves and Fishes but is now Nourish. They've merged. It is the people who pass hope on. It is the people who pass strength on. So this week, as we go about our everyday life, as we hit the alarm snooze because we've lost a week, as we get ready for work, as we get ready for school, as we experience friends at school, as we experience people in our everyday life, remember who you are. You are a strong woman in God. You are a strong man in God. You are a strong teenager who God loves. You are pointing them to an understanding of God's love in their life. Person described in Proverbs was a strong person, inwardly and outwardly. Just as you are strong people, inwardly and outwardly. The person described in Proverbs was a needed person. You are a needed person. You are needed because of your love. You are needed because of your money. You are needed because of the person you are that points us to Christ. Because in reality, many of us are the Christ people know. They don't know who Christ is, except as a swear word. It is the life you live and the testimony you mouth that leads them to an understanding of who Jesus Christ can be and wants to be in their life. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your diligence. Pressing on.
We have many to pray for. If you'll look on the back of your worship, it lists them.
Jenny Dunn is doing well, I hear, and is anxious to go home. Tom McClure is fitting in well, I hear. I'm glad where he is. It's a place that nurtured my father in his last days. Who else would you have us to pray? Jill Griffin, please continue to pray for her. This Jill is an example of a strong person who doesn't give up, who continues to persevere. Who else would you have us pray for?
Linda Lamb.
Linda. Who else?
Let's pray Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Having a lumbar tumor.
Michael Andy. He's going through cancer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cancer. Anybody else?
And Johnny, who's taking care of Uncle Andy.
Right, that's true. The strong woman, Johnny, who continues to care for and love her brother and strengthen him. Let's pray. You know, God, it is a beautiful day here. The sun is shining, birds are singing, flowers are blooming. But as we are here, we are aware there are places that it's pouring the rain and they're flooding. We are aware of places that have no rain and is drought-filled. We are aware of mothers that are grieving the loss of house and home. We are aware of mothers who don't have food for their children. We are aware that our world is filled with despair and hardship and lack of hope. Help us to be diligent in our lives to bring hope to those around us, to work to instill hope, not only just in our family, but in people beyond our families. Help us to take to heart the words in Proverbs about being a strong person, a diligent person, a courageous person. Thank you for these words, God. Thank you for loving us, for being a patient, teaching God. Thank you for sending models to us, parents, aunts, teachers, co-workers, to guide us along in our life development. Thank you for Cook's Church and the heritage it has been and can continue to be. And thank you for giving us the words of a prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer that you taught us how to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For theirs is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. I knew that she could give us a new perspective on the verse from Proverbs. And I just want to say that my friends here at Cook's are what it's meant so much to me. My mother's gone, my aunt's gone, but my friends. Okay, this is the part that I have the honor of doing, and one of the ladies that is getting this award is a friend, a very special friend. And I want to tell you about her. And she'll know who she is. She may already. When I say, she was born on November the 25th, 1940, in Salamanca, New York. She graduated from Bradford High School. She earned an associate degree from Jamestown Community College. She lived her entire adult life in Western New York until retirement, when she and her husband, Ron, relocated to Charlotte. Ron passed away in 2014. She has five children,
9 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren. And she has raised 2 of her grandchildren and 2 of her great-grandchildren, one who we have sitting over in the wing. She's dedicated her life to children, and throughout the years, she was a foster mother, taught nursery school, was director of events for Campfire, a substitute teacher, and recently worked in a small school as a tutor and helper. Here at Cook's, we know her as always saying yes when we have asked for help. She is an elder. She helps with Bible school and funeral receptions. She has a beautiful alto voice and sings in the choir. She's concerned about all areas of Cook's, especially play school. She attends the morning circle meeting and teaches Sunday school, as she did this morning. She's a very kind and caring person and a wonderful neighbor. She helped me when I needed help driving to rehab for my shoulder. She would pick me up and she would take me. And we now will be praying for her upcoming hip surgery that will bring her back to 100%, and we look forward to her being involved in Cook's Church again. And I'm sure you know that I'm talking about Bev Weldy. She will receive a certificate framed. She will also receive a pin that looks like this and means everything on it has a certain meaning. So, for Beverly Marie Weldy, presented with an honorary life membership in Presbyterian Women. And the pin, and I know there's been several people that have gotten these pins, but can also be worn on a chain. So your pin, and there's a description in here of what the different things mean. So thank you, Bev, for all you do.
I've learned that my friends can be sneaky.
Yes. And her family's here,
you know,
sitting right back there.
I sat up there and I saw them and I thought, wow, I'm so glad they're here. And now I know why they're here. And yeah. I feel so loved and blessed to be a member of this church. And the support that you've given me in the 20 years that I've been here, I can't say enough about you folks. I just cannot say enough. Thank you so much. Means the world.
Thank you. And here's my speech.
Thank you.
There's, well, I had a little help. It's always an honor to be able to do that. And as right now, we're going to have a litany of gratitude and celebration. After that, we will have our offertory.
Hello, all. Congratulations, Bev. Very, very well deserved. The gifts of women throughout the age.
We give thanks.
For the ways they have shown up from Sephra, forgive me, I tried that one 3 different times, to Pau, to Miriam and Hagar, and Deborah and Jill, and Ruth and Rehab, to Vashti and Esther.
We celebrate you.
For their courage and strength, resistance, rest, and wisdom.
We celebrate you.
For Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, her cousin, we see your brave faith.
We honor you.
For Mary Magdalene, Martha, Mary, Joanna, Susanna, Rhoda, Dorcas, Tabitha, and the countless unnamed women of the sacred texts.
We center you from the margins and celebrate you.
For mothers, aunts, wives, daughters, sisters, for all the women in every walk of life throughout all space and time.
We give thanks. We celebrate you. We honor you.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. At this time, we will take up our offering. Thank you, Lord, for these offerings. Bless them to your use here at Cook's. In Jesus' name, amen. While Carrie's coming up, I just want to thank all the women that have participated this morning. I just appreciate you all being here and look forward to next year's service. Will we have refreshments outside today? Or in here? Okay. Well, be sure and greet Bev and tell her how much we appreciate her.
Go into the world, Presbyterian women, free to care for ourselves as well as each other, because God desires us to do this. Remember the gift of Sabbath. Embrace your gifts, knowing that you are all enough. Amen. Amen.
Heart with our blessing.